horribly, practically violent speeches were being spewed there, full of racial hatred, anti-gay.
You know what Trump said about the really hideous anti-LGBT platform? It's very good.
I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican.
As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence of a hateful foreign ideology.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Romanians could consider banning marriage equality, India's government advances transgender protections, and U.S. Republicans party till they trump. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending July 23rd, 2016. Romania's Constitutional Court this week approved a right-wing anti-LGBT group's effort to constitutionally define marriage as exclusively heterosexual. The ruling allows Romania's parliament to vote on the proposal. The current definition of civil marriage in Romania refers to spouses without specifying gender. Any constitutional change would require a three-quarters vote in parliament, which would then put the issue before voters in a referendum. The nine judges on the country's highest court wrote that they were not addressing the issue of marriage equality itself, only ruling unanimously that a petition circulated by the Coalition for the Family and signed by 3 million Romanians this year to change the Constitution's definition of marriage was valid. LGBT rights activists staged protests of the court ruling in downtown Bucharest. They held banners reading "Love Above Dogma" and "Love Is Not a Sin," printed on a background of rainbow hearts, and chanted "Equal Rights." The Associated Press reported that police took the personal details of people taking part in the rally, and even journalists who were covering it, because the gathering wasn't authorized by City Hall.
Homosexual acts were decriminalized in Romania in 2001. While the Eastern European nation doesn't specifically outlaw civil marriage for same-gender couples, it doesn't legally recognize them. Only a handful of politicians support marriage equality in the socially conservative nation of 20 million, where the powerful Romanian Orthodox Church often dominates political debate. Parliament is currently in its summer recess.
The far-right U.S. group, Liberty Council, best known for defending homophobic marriage license-refusing Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis, bragged via a Christian Newswire press release this week that the brief they submitted in favor of natural marriage played an instrumental role in the Romanian High Court's decision.
But India's government has advanced new protections for its transgender citizens. The Transgender Person Protection of Rights Bill 2016 was approved by the cabinet this week, with the support of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, for introduction in Parliament. Through this bill, a press statement said, the government has evolved a mechanism for social, economic, and educational empowerment. The bill will benefit a large number of transgender persons, mitigate the stigma, discrimination, and abuse against this marginalized section, and bring them into the mainstream of society. The proposal includes punishments of up to 2 years in prison for committing violence or publicly humiliating trans people. It specifically defines violence as any physical or verbal attack, as well as forcing trans people to leave their village, forcibly removing their clothes, parading them naked, or inciting them to beg. The bill also authorizes a new National Council of Transgender People.
In other news, a record crowd of 25,000 LGBT activists and their allies hit the streets of Jerusalem on July 21st for the city's annual Pride Parade. According to Israeli media, just 5,000 people participated last year. This year's 15th annual parade was dedicated to the memory of Shira Banki, a 16-year-old girl who was stabbed to death by an ultra-Orthodox Jewish extremist at last year's parade. He also wounded 6 others. Many marchers laid flowers under a large picture of Banki at the site of her murder. Some 2,000 uniformed police and plainclothes officers were on hand to keep the festivities peaceful. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu referenced last year's violence at Jerusalem Pride and last month's massacre at Orlando's Pulse nightclub in a strongly worded video message urging all Israelis to support this year's march.
Loving someone should never mean a life of fear or terror. Surrounding us are regimes who literally murder you for being gay. In Israel, the LGBT community marches with pride. My unwavering belief is that all people are created equal. Dignity, respect, acceptance. These are the values that will triumph.
But Jerusalem Mayor Nir Barkat drew ire from equality advocates for refusing to march in the procession because his announcement claimed it offends the national religious public. It might be worth noting that the recently elected Muslim mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, led his city's pride parade last month.
But a first ever pride march was canceled earlier this month in southern Israel's largest city, Beersheba, after police and city officials predicted a strong likelihood of life-threatening violence against participants. Israel's Supreme Court suggested that organizers choose a less traveled alternate route, but they canceled the event instead, noting that the point of pride is to be seen.
There are two related U.S. sports stories this week. The National Basketball Association, or NBA, has officially pulled its February 2017 All-Star Game out of Charlotte, North Carolina, because of the state's discriminatory law known as HB2. That law forbids local city and county officials from passing laws that protect their LGBT citizens from discrimination and demands that trans people use public bathrooms that correspond to the gender on their birth certificate. Citing the refusal of North Carolina lawmakers to substantially fix the law, the official NBA statement issued on July 21st said, in part, that we are particularly mindful of the impact of this decision on our fans in North Carolina. Charlotte Hornet fans are among the most passionate in our league. It is also important to stress, the statement added, that the City of Charlotte and the Hornets organization have sought to provide an inclusive environment and that the Hornets will continue to ensure that all patrons, including members of the LGBT community, feel welcome while attending games and events in their arena. The All-Star Game could be held in Charlotte in 2019, provided that there's an appropriate resolution to this matter, the statement said. New Orleans is reportedly in the running to replace Charlotte in 2017. The Speaker of the Massachusetts House made a symbolic bid for next year's All-Star Game, citing his state's recently enacted laws protecting transgender people.
The National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA, followed suit the following day. All cities bidding to host college championship games or tournaments must now certify that they have policies banning discrimination or, conversely, admit that they have regulations that interfere with any person's choice of bathroom or locker room. All cities bidding for future games or tournaments must fill out a survey attesting to their non-discrimination policies by August 12th. Cities that have already been granted championship rounds will also need to submit the survey by an as-yet unspecified date. That could be a challenge for officials in Greensboro, North Carolina. The city is scheduled to host the second and third rounds of the 2017 Men's Division I basketball tournament, the wildly popular series of elimination games known as March Madness. The city of Indianapolis, Indiana, the state with GOP vice presidential nominee and current Governor Mike Pence's discriminatory so-called religious freedom law, is also scheduled to host two rounds of March Madness next year. The July 22nd announcement follows up on a vote in April by the NCAA governing board to require bidding cities to demonstrate how they will provide an environment that is safe, healthy, and free of discrimination. An NCAA spokesperson confirmed that the new requirements apply to all championship rounds, not just the title games.
And finally, a July 22nd story in Mississippi's Clarion Ledger newspaper confirms that the U.S. state's Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act, known as HB 1523, was written not by lawmakers, but by the people behind the Christian legal advocacy group Alliance Defending Freedom. The law allows businesses, individuals, and public servants to deny service to LGBT people or anyone else they don't like based on religious belief or moral conviction. According to email messages obtained through court order by attorney Roberta Kaplan, who's challenging her home state's discriminatory law in a federal lawsuit, the right-wing group drafted much of the language in the bill and even helped write Republican Governor Phil Bryant's signing speech. Alliance Defending Freedom was co-founded by Donald Wildman Sr., who also created the rabidly homophobic American Family Association. Governor Bryant issued a statement saying that it is perfectly normal for our office to work with individuals and organizations who have had a role in requesting and or opposing legislation during the bill review process to gather additional information. But the Clarion Ledger notes that Alliance Defending Freedom is an avowedly Christian organization and that the bill only protects certain religious views that coincide with Christianity. Kaplan, the attorney whose lawsuit successfully overturned the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, in 2013, suggests that the email revelations prove that HB 1523 violates the clause in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that prohibits government establishment of religion. U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves has already ruled that HB 1523 is unconstitutional, but the state is appealing.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 23, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org. You can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm John Dyer V.
Don't forget that most men with nothing would rather protect the possibility of becoming rich than face the reality of being poor. And that is why they will follow us.
To the right, ever to the right, never to the left, forever to the right. Where there's gold, a market that will hold. Tradition that is old, reluctance to be bold.
In U.S. politics, the quadrennial Republican National Convention is usually expected to be a smooth, rather staid event. But 2016 has not been a usual presidential election year. The GOP convocation from July 18th through 21st in Cleveland, Ohio, was clearly going to be a bumpy ride when their prospective nominee for First Lady gave an opening night speech that was not entirely original. Gay USA's Andy Hum and Ann Northrup reported on the Melania Trump controversy and other inconvenient convention truths.
Melania's famous plagiarism was exposed, if you didn't know, by an African-American gay journalist.
It was all blown open by Jarrett Hill, who used to work with Soledad O'Brien, youngish gay black man, who was watching the speech and said, "Wait a minute, I've heard that before." And he looked up Michelle Obama's convention speeches and said, "This is the same thing." And he took the texts, put them together, put them on Twitter, and boom, the world blew up. I don't think it was the biggest crime ever committed, but I do think the crime was how horribly they reacted to this and lied about it. And then they get up and talk about Hillary lying with a straight face. Then you have little moments like Trump walking out on Monday night to We Are the Champions, which the band Queen has objected to. He's used this repeatedly. They object every time he uses it, and he just keeps using it.
I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care. That's what he says. I don't care. But, of course, it distracted from what was a hate fest on the first night.
Exactly.
I mean, these horribly, practically violent speeches that were being spewed there, full of racial hatred, anti-gay. I mean, the only time sexual orientation was mentioned was by Rudy Giuliani in a really horrible speech. But all he was saying was, you know, the cops don't ask what your sexual orientation is when they come to save you. You know, or race or anything like that. But that's it. That's not exactly affirming our rights.
It was nice that the Cleveland City Council, just before the Republicans arrived, passed a non-discrimination bill for gender identity, including public accommodations like bathrooms. That was a little slap in the face to the Republicans. We appreciated that. Meanwhile, the Republican Party has nominated virulently anti-LGBT Mike Pence for Vice President of the United States. You know, we knew this was coming, and it just gave me the worst feeling in the pit of my stomach as they moved towards nominating Mike Pence. Not that Chris Christie or Newt Gingrich would have been an improvement.
Well, Mike Pence is the governor of Indiana and was in a lot of trouble in terms of being reelected in the state of Indiana because they're sick of him. even in Indiana, which often votes Republican in presidential elections, mostly votes Republican in presidential elections. But Mike Pence, what a record as a congressman, as a radio talk show host, and as governor. This is a guy who got up on the floor of Congress and said, smoking doesn't kill people. I mean, just to give you an example.
Mike Pence has a 100% rating from the NRA when he was in Congress, a zero rating from the Human Rights Campaign, backed by the Family Research Council very heavily, you know, proudly introduces himself as
a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order.
Totally anti-abortion, you know.
A defunded Planned Parenthood. And Mike Pence was proposing legislation that would punish doctors and ban some forms of contraception.
In 2000, he wouldn't allow federal funding to care for people with HIV/AIDS unless money was cut to programs that, quote, celebrate and encourage the types of behaviors that facilitate the spreading of the HIV virus.
He wanted funds instead dedicated to helping people change the behavior that spreads HIV, according to him.
He voted against the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. He voted against repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He voted for a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. This is a bill that had no chance of passing, but that he voted for.
Voted against inclusion of us in hate crimes bills. Voted against anything helping trans students.
But they're acting like, oh, nobody knows who Mike Pence is. Well, no, he was quite famous just last year because he signed this really outrageous Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We have a picture of him at the bill signing. You know, he surrounds himself with nuns in habits. Very few nuns wear habits anymore, so they had to be far right. And some Orthodox Jews are visible there with the hats and all this kind of stuff. But we have another picture which tells you who are the people standing with him. Well, the guy with the beard there is Micah Clark, who believes homosexuality is a treatable disorder. Behind him in the back is Kurt Smith, who equates homosexuality with bestiality, and he helped write the bill. And behind Pence is Eric Miller, who propagandized that pastors could be jailed for preaching against homosexuality. Lies, lies, lies.
I mean, this guy is really right wing. And then he, you may also remember, I rewatched this, you can find it on YouTube, the humiliating interview he did with George Stephanopoulos.
Is Advance America right when they say a florist in Indiana can now refuse to serve a gay couple without fear of punishment?
Well, let me explain.
If a florist in Indiana refuses to serve a gay couple at their wedding, is that legal now in Indiana?
George.
It said it would protect a Christian florist who against any kind of punishment. Is that true or not?
George.
Does that mean that Christians who want to refuse service, or people of any other faith who want to refuse service to gays and lesbians, that it's now legal in the state of Indiana? That's a simple yes or no question.
George.
Do you think it should be legal in the state of Indiana to discriminate against gays or lesbians?
George.
Yes or no, should it be legal to discriminate against gays and lesbians?
George.
Hillary could nominate Pokemon as her vice president, and he would beat Pence in a debate.
Mainstream press accounts generally overlooked Pence's anti-LGBT background and easily took the bait the GOP laid out to give the impression that the party's attitude had evolved. Silicon Valley billionaire Peter Thiel was hailed as the first gay man to identify himself as such on a Republican convention stage.
When I was a kid, the great debate was about how to defeat the Soviet Union, and we won. Now we are told that the great debate is about who gets to use which bathroom. This is a distraction from our real problems. Who cares? Of course, every American has a unique identity. I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican. But most of all, I am proud to be an American. I don't pretend to agree with every plank in our party's platform, but fake culture wars only distract us from our economic decline. And nobody in this race is being honest about it except Donald Trump.
Peter Thiel's Republican convention speech was put in perspective by journalist Sam Biddle on Democracy Now.
His background ideologically is all over the place. He has stated that democracy and freedom are incompatible. He's said that women should have never had the right to vote in the United States. He believes in the construction of man-made islands where the U.S. government has no sovereignty. And now he's a Trump delegate, which I think is really a natural progression in a series of fringe, silly, radical ideas. As nice as it was to see that moment and the applause that came with it, you have to remember the history and direction of the Republican Party. And then he followed that immediately by dismissing transgender rights as a distraction. So I'm not really sure how progressive any of that really was.
Fortunately, a consortium of groups, including the National Center for Transgender Equality, bought ad time on the last night of the convention to make it clear that bathroom politics are anything but trivial.
I'm a transgender woman. I was born with a male body, but inside I always knew I was female. So I transitioned, and now I live every day as the woman I've always known myself to be. It can be hard to understand what it means to be transgender, especially if you've never met a transgender person. In most states, our laws don't protect transgender people from discrimination in public places or when it comes to using the restroom, something we all need to do every day. I've lived as a woman for many years. Most people, when they stop and think about it, they realize that when businesses can legally force me to use the men's room, it puts me at risk for harassment and violence. Safety and privacy in bathrooms are important for all of us. It's already illegal to enter a restroom to harm someone, and anyone who does that can and should be arrested. Updating the law to protect gay and transgender people from discrimination won't change that, but it would help to ensure that people like me aren't mistreated when we need to do something as basic as using the restroom.
The convention closed with Trump himself, who dished out another moment designed to warm the hearts of pro-LGBTQ voters.
Only weeks ago, in Orlando, Florida, 49 wonderful Americans were savagely murdered by an Islamic terrorist. This time, the terrorist targeted LGBTQ community. No good. And we're going to stop it. As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology. Believe me. And I have to say, as a Republican, it is so nice to hear you cheering for what I just said. Thank you.
While the mention was groundbreaking by GOP standards, it should be noted that Trump's pledge to protect LGBTQ people from violence was in the context of a speech that stressed law and order with veiled references to Black Lives Matter protesters, hyped Islamophobia, despite the fact that the Pulse massacre shooter's connections to ISIS are vague at best, and promised no rescue from the domestic religious ideologies laid out in the party's platform. Andy Hum and Ann Northrup discuss some lowlights of that document.
Pornography is a public health crisis. Marriage should still be between a man and a woman. Children raised in traditional homes are healthier. Did you know that?
Coal is clean energy.
Yeah. Parents can force their LGBT children to undergo conversion therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Education includes a good understanding of the Bible,
which is indispensable for the development of an educated citizenry.
Even the Log Cabin Republican Club, which is trying to support Trump, basically, said this is the most anti-LGBT platform in the party's history. Phyllis Schlafly has been writing the social issues in the platform for many, many years.
But now it's the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins. And yeah. Tony Perkins has gotten carte blanche to write the Republican Party platform. Andy and I, for many years, have debated whether there is any point in paying any attention to party platforms. And my position has always been no. They're just there to appease the extreme wings of the party and give them something to crow about. And then the nominee and the people who are elected go blithely on their way and pay no attention to the party platform. But in this case, I would say the fact that the Trump people have made no effort to interfere with any of this and are perfectly content to let this stand, they're going to be beholden to these people.
Well, it'll be very hard to write a platform for Donald Trump since he's taken both sides of every single issue that's ever been in existence.
Now, only two?
That is not a joke.
I know.
That's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
We can find tape of him on both sides of every issue.
Several sides of every issue.
Yeah. But this is what the Republicans in Congress actually do when they
yes.
get power.
Yes.
Donald Trump has proposed judges to the court that have said we should allow states to ban same-sex marriage, ban sodomy again. It could be reinstated in this country in many states if these judges, enough of these judges, get on the court.
And
be alarmed, be afraid, be very afraid.
They don't give up. Just because we have legalized same-sex marriage in this country and passed some non-discrimination laws doesn't mean they accept that. They don't accept
yeah,
it.
We lost on sodomy in 1986, and the court upheld the right to ban sodomy, and it took 17 years to get that overturned by the Supreme Court, but it can be turned back.
And Trump really doesn't care about any of this stuff. All he cares about is some judge mistreating him in a business lawsuit. That's what he cares about. And his business is thriving and his brand increasing. So he doesn't have any well-formed opinions on any of this stuff. People keep asking him if he'll support the Equality Act, and no answer. And you know what Trump said about the really hideous anti-LGBT platform? It's very good.
That analysis of the Republican Party platform came from Ann Northrup and Andy Hum of Gay USA. The stage is now set for the Democratic Party's national convention this week in Philadelphia. Presumptive presidential nominee Hillary Clinton predicts a different tone at their gathering.
Just remember, love trumps hate.
To the right.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. Wenzel Jones and John Dyer V contributed program material this week, with additional thanks to Democracy Now!, to Gay USA's Andy Hum and Ann Northrup, and as always, to Steve Pride. Some of the music you heard came from the Broadway musical 1776, and Kim Wolfson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, for making this show possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 4BI Fortitude Valley, Queensland, WYHS Eau Claire, Wisconsin, KYRS Medicine Lake, Spokane, Washington, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.